desire can attract everything you want in life. Passion by Design is a show about designing a life of passion. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah, and we're the authors of a concept and a book called Passion by Design. Redecorate your bedroom and reinvent your love life.
We'll be discussing romance, relationships, interior design, and sensory delights.
And we're here today, Tuesday afternoon, to discuss living life fully through the senses here on AM 1240 KNRY. Welcome.
Welcome. Well, we have got a fabulous guest today, and we just want to jump right into what she has to say, because I think we could probably talk with her for hours and hours and weeks and weeks. And Sandy, who's our guest today?
Tana Marie. She is a natural intuitive. She developed her unique and highly successful approach working with Fortune 100s, VIPs, Hollywood celebrities, CEOs, and people worldwide for the past 30 years. She's also a popular radio and TV personality, professional intuitive, romance and dating expert, motivator, and ordained minister. And she is CEO of Tana Marie's Passion Island, a company dedicated to creating love and romance. And that's right along with what we talk about.
Well,
isn't it,
Paula? Certainly is. And Passion by Design, and I think some of our listeners are getting to know us a little bit. Passion by Design, we created, Sandy Peckinpah and I, Paula McChesney, created it about 8 years ago, and it was born out of a realization that people really spend a lot of time and money in renovating the public areas of their homes, the great rooms, mm-hmm. the family rooms, the kitchens, and so forth. But very little attention, I notice, is paid to the bedroom, the master suite. And my aha moment, what I call sort of my Joan of Arc, you know, hearing voices moment, came, as I said, about 8 years ago, when I walked back to a master suite of a job I was working on in the Bay Area, and I saw that the energy just dropped in the room, and there were mismatched bed nightstands, night tables, and an exercise bike with clothing thrown over it. People kind of start nodding the recognition when I talk about this. I just didn't have energy in the room that was vibrant and alive like I was creating in the rest of the home. And I had this thought, I wonder if the state of their bedroom parallels the state of their relationship. And Passion by Design was born.
Right.
So I brought my best friend in life, Sandy Peckinpah, into the project to help me co-author our book.
Which I was a writer.
Sandy's a professional writer, and I am now too. I was a professional speaker at the time, and I definitely recognized the difference. And together we wrote Passion by Design, Redecorate Your Bedroom, and Reinvent Your Love Life. And that is available on Amazon and also on our website, passionbydesign.com. So we're really thrilled to have the opportunity to share this information and the book. There's lots and lots of information. We've got some fun, spicy little tidbits in there and a lot of very valuable, serious information. So we are delighted to share our passion this afternoon with you, our listeners, and with Tana Marie.
And Tana Marie, you so compliment what we are doing. And if you want to talk a little bit about your business, we'd love to hear about your business and your passion.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, Paul, as you were saying, you know, the bedroom is usually the most talked about and the most overlooked place in the house. And, you know, for those of you out there, I know there'll be a lot of nodding on this one. You know, love and romance starts well outside of the bedroom. And people just don't think about, you walk through the threshold and it should be an oasis. It should be a sanctuary mm-hmm. for the couple. And
exactly.
regardless of budget, regardless of, you know, who they are and what they're doing, they need to have a sanctuary, sacred space that they can walk into and say, this is us.
Right.
And
right.
and that's ours. Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it should reflect that in what's there. It should be.
And also what's not there.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, getting into even the feng shui aspects of it. And, you know, years ago, I was working with a couple and they were having some problems. And I do my intuitive counseling. I'm called the love psychic. Because when I was on K101 in San Francisco for 5 or 6 years, I was on for lovers only. And so people would call in and they'd ask questions about their relationship, love and romance and all of that. And it was interesting. So I was working with this one couple who came mm-hmm. through the radio, not through the radio, but because of the radio. Mm-hmm. And I walked into their bedroom and it was the coldest, stalest, most frigid place I had ever been in.
Oh, my. Ooh.
They had a pair of figurines, Yadros. They had them, instead of back-to-back, they were supposed to have been, they had them turned facing away from one another on opposite ends of the bureau.
Oh, boy.
They had a dead tree. A dead plant in the corner, and it was their love and romance corner. And I walked in, and I said, my goodness, you don't have to be an intuitive to know what's going on here. And it was really fascinating because, you know, out of that, you know, just that little snapshot of what was going on there. And then, of course, we sat down and really got into what was going on and some of the history and all of that. But it was fascinating because they had no idea that their problems were so overt. They thought they had hidden it very well.
Yes.
They didn't think any of their friends or relatives knew. And I just said, guys, walk in, fresh eyes, look around, what do you see? And her face just dropped.
Yes.
And she said, oh, my God, it looks like a dead person lives here.
Yeah. Well, a dead relationship
did. Absolutely, absolutely.
A dead
It was. And I said, you know, because when two people are together, whether you're cohabitating, married, doesn't matter, you know, your relationship is the third entity.
It absolutely is.
And, you know, when we do astrology, numerology, when you do a composite, you take the two individuals and you make the third. And I said, and that is what a relationship is. You have to nurture it. It's nurturing one another. But there is an energy that is the third entity.
That's so true.
And so that's why having the overt expression of it, you know, just how you treat one another and what goes on with, you know, within your relationship, but also how your surroundings are.
The physical space and the manifestation.
Absolutely.
Boy, that's a fantastic example of what we talk about. And and were you able to make some changes in that? And it will be anonymous, so we won't have to give any names.
Oh,
were you
of course.
Able to make some changes in that relationship that helped move toward healing?
Oh, absolutely, Paula. There were so many things that I did. First of all, her taste, and this is going to date me a while, her taste was country French. You know, she loved the blues and the pastels. His was black and white contemporary.
You walked different there.
Oh, absolutely. And that was the thing that was so interesting in my counseling all through, you know, through the years, is that people say, well, my gosh, how do you do what you do? I said, well, of course, with my intuition, I'm able to pinpoint things very quickly. But I also have an interior design background, as Paula, you and I talked about forever ago, and design degree and used to have a design firm. So even when I had my design firm, I did more counseling than designing in many cases. And so it was funny because then now in my counseling practice, I was doing design. So it was great. I mean, you know, how it sort of goes hand in, you know, hand in glove.
Paula,
there.
Isn't that interesting?
Perfect.
Because that's really, you know, you've embraced that as well. And
Indeed.
Yeah.
And it does make a difference. I just, you know, so many examples, and that's yet another wonderful one of how our environment, which we do have some control over, and we can make changes, whether it's the feng shui changes or, you know, simple repositioning of things or, you know, the dead tree. Oh, my gosh, what an overt statement is that.
Truly.
And to all of our listeners, I highly recommend bring fresh flowers into your bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Treat yourself to something wonderful and alive. It's life-giving.
It is.
Something as simple as that.
Well, I have a quick story for you. I just visited my friend Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie, and now she's doing this musical touring the United States. And I stayed with her in Atlanta when they were doing the show there. And we had a suite of rooms, and it was a beautiful hotel. It was the Peachtree Mansion Hotel. And what we did, we sat there the first night and had a meal in the room, and all of a sudden she got this look on her face, and she looked around. She went into all the rooms, and she said, do you know what we're missing? I said, I have no idea. We've got everything. We have a beautiful dinner. We've got a bottle of wine for me. She doesn't drink, so she has a bottle of beautiful water, and her dog is there. I said, what are we missing? She said, fresh flowers. Mm. So she called room service. She said, you've got to bring fresh flowers up. And the next morning, we had a cart full of glorious arrangements that just, and she was right. it mm-hmm. changed the whole atmosphere in the room.
It does. It really, really does. Yeah. I want to give a little reminder. You're listening to Passion by Design on AM 1240 KNRY.
And, you know, the thing about that, too, with flowers, is it changes the chi in the room.
Yes.
It changes the energy.
Really?
And, you know, I remember back in the day when everybody had dried flowers.
Yes.
That's another no.
Oh.
You can do silks. I mean, if people okay. cannot have, there's an area where, say, they can't, right. you know, have fresh flowers. Silks are okay, feng shui-wise, energy-wise. It's fine. But you do not want to have dried. Because think of something, a beautiful flower, it's now dead. All the life mm-hmm. force is gone. From
That's
it.
Right.
And
right.
then you're decorating the energy and no chi moves. So
oh,
there's no movement.
Oh, giving me a chill. Yes.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
So back to that couple that I was telling you about. What we did is, first of all, of course, we got rid of that old tree.
Good.
Get rid of that. And then I said, let's just do something as simple as bringing the two Yadro figurines together, facing one another the way it was supposed
yes.
to have been. And then thirdly, their bed was more of a catch-all. I said, now we're going to go out and we're going to get the nicest linens you can get.
Perfect.
Pillows, plump it up. Let's do some hanging drapes around the bed. You know, make it like a Scheherazade. And he just lit up and she's going, oh, I never thought of that.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
And it was. It was just, it has to be soft and inviting color-wise. And that's another thing, too, that people don't realize. You don't want to paint your bedroom screaming yellow mm-hmm. because that opens the solar plexus too much and you become too emotional.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people are doing reds, burgundies. That's beautiful. And it's also good because it opens the first chakra, which is your sexuality.
That's right.
Your sexual center.
What are the passion colors?
That's right.
Ooh, red, absolutely.
Really?
Royal purple.
Oh.
Very, very,
very
good
high.
Because it's very high energy,
uh-huh.
Very high frequency. Wonderful. What I would always recommend staying away from are the oranges, yellows. Some people like orange, but again, you get too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Green is okay. Pink, as much as I adore pink is not a good color to paint a bedroom.
What I think it does, any man would tell you that.
I know. See, I adore pink. I mean, if you want to go into the reds, you want to go into the deep burgundies and then maybe paint one wall. And then you want to bring in your accent colors.
Mm.
But the reason that pink is, especially with children, don't paint little girls' rooms pink, because what it does is it opens up the emotional centers too much. And especially in a child, yellow and pink are the two worst colors you can paint a child's room, emotionally and spiritually.
And what colors do we tend to paint children's
pink
rooms
and
in this country?
Oh, I know. One of the best colors, and this is something a lot of people don't realize as far as the real sensual is teal.
Mm-hmm.
Teal is the heart color,
mm-hmm.
and it opens the heart. So one of my favorite, not that I do cookie cutter anything, but
uh-huh.
Burgundy and teal is a fantastic, you know, like you have a wall of burgundy and then you bring in just touches of teal or vice versa.
So the teal is a heart color.
The teal is the color of the heart, exactly.
Oh.
When you look at the chakra system, it's the heart. And so if you want to open your heart... Now, that's why
uh-huh.
the teal and the
mm-hmm.
burgundy is great, because your burgundy is opening up your passion. That's
right,
opening up your
right.
first chakra, which you need.
Oh, yes. Got to have
you
that first
what?
Chakra
And then it
open.
Connects with the heart.
I
so
got to have a new wardrobe. I'm going to start wearing teal and burgundy.
Oh, absolutely, hon. I mean, it's not today, but typically those are my two favorite colors.
Well,
you know?
And, you know, you raise a good point, and we talk about this at length in the book, is
mm-hmm.
wearing colors that flatter your skin,
yes.
and choosing bedding and lingerie that flatters your skin tones. And what most people don't realize is that it doesn't matter whether you are as fair and creamy as both Sandy and I are, or redhead, all the way to the blackest ebony skin, that is a brown-orange skin tone. The complement of that is a teal lightened up to an aqua to a turquoise. So most people on the planet
yeah.
can choose some form of an aqua to a teal
oh.
and look very, very, very fabulous.
That's Truly. Interesting, Paula. And, you
yes.
know, I love that when we were writing the book and you educated me so much on some of these things, like it never occurred to me that a bathrobe should complement
oh.
your skin, because I wanted it to match the bathroom.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And then you had yeah. mentioned that, and I thought, oh, it never occurred to me.
Well, and it's so true, and we all love the you know, these big white fluffy bathrobes that we get in the
mm-hmm.
hotels. However, I, for one, don't look as gorgeous in the morning without my makeup on in the big white bathrobe. So I always whip on a teeny little bit of blush, hope my sweetheart's not listening, and a bit of lipstick. Mm-hmm. And on that note, we're going to take a quick little break.
Sunshine through a window makes your home even more beautiful. But UV rays, day after day, can leave your furnishings faded and dull.
Music is as radiant to the ears as color is to the eyes. Imagine, though, how it would be if the violins didn't sound as rich, the grand piano didn't have quite the resonance. Now think about your home. Are the textures and colors of your upholstered furniture and wall hangings as bright and vibrant as they were when you bought them? UV rays can do damage, and transparent glass coatings is the answer. TGC will stop 100% of UV rays using a non-reflective ceramic coating by Hooper Optic. Family-owned and operated for over 30 years, Transparent Glass Coatings, 476-9627 or 373-3334.
Welcome back to Passion by Design. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah, and we are here today with Tana Marie, the love psychic.
Yes.
Romance and dating expert, author, and spiritual leader. And we're loving our conversation with you because it's so in alignment with what we talk about in our book. And I'd like to just take a moment to let our listeners know that if they go to our website, passionbydesign.com, and sign up their information and put in the comments, listening to you on KNRY Radio, we have a book giveaway and we will do a drawing. And we look forward to being able to send you a book. So please, we welcome your comments. Yes, we welcome your comments and your information and any subjects that you would also like to know that you would like to talk about. So visit it. It's www.passionbydesign.com. And let's keep talking about that bedroom.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is, love is not just about geography, as we know. Mm-hmm. You can be as passionate walking down the beach as you are in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, in order to be passionate in your bedroom at mm-hmm. night, you have to have your foreplay all day long. And that's one of the major complaints I get from women all
really
the time.
True. Yes.
They want, their biggest complaint about a lot of the men is that the men completely ignore them all day long. They don't touch them, they don't kiss them, they don't fondle their hair, they don't say, oh, you look wonderful today. And then the minute they go through the threshold, mm-hmm. they want the woman to turn into a tigress.
Mm-hmm.
And the
Good
women
point.
Are saying, are you kidding me? You know, it's like, how dare you? You acted like I'm yesterday's laundry, and then now you want me to just turn it all on, baby.
Right.
And so in order to really have the love and the romance and the passion in your bedroom or wherever else in the house
wherever
you decide
you
to do it, you really have to romance one another all day long.
Absolutely.
Now, yeah, and another thing that I like to describe when I talk about couples and love relationships is women are like a crock pot and men are like a microwave.
Oh, isn't that true?
Yes, truly. Yes. Because, you know, it takes men, whatever, two or
right.
3 seconds to become aroused, you know.
That's
I mean,
right.
And God bless our men have to take the little blue pill, so we give them a little bit, you know, longer time, but it doesn't matter. They can be turned on very, very quickly. Women need to be romanced because sexuality is the second thing. It's the connection that we're looking for.
That's right.
Men are looking for the sexuality. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Men will use connection to get sex. Women use sex to get the connection.
She's been reading our book.
Oh, yes, because that's what
yeah.
we talk about.
And it's in my book, too, by the way.
Wonderful.
So, yes,
why don't you
yes.
also tell us where your website could be located for our listeners?
Oh, absolutely, hon. My website is
Passion Island.
Passion Island. I was about to say Passion by Design.
Yeah.
It's passionisland.us.
Okay,
so
perfect.
I always say when you think of passion, think of us because
like, right. oh, I like
couldn't
that.
Get the .com, so it's .us.
Like
and
it.
On my website, I do a lot. I write a monthly romance column. I have love tips. I've created free downloadable love coupons. Mm-hmm. You can download them, print them out, give them to mm-hmm. your lover. I have my book and other products that I've created for love and romance on the site, and just a lot of other fun things. So that's triple dub, passionisland.us.
We had something in our book that we discussed, and I think you just brought this up, is that when women get married, they tend to turn off the button that says it's time to flirt. And the flirting takes place as the romance begins and throughout the,
right.
It's such a natural instinct when you're falling in love. And then the day that you get married, does that stop? It shouldn't.
No, it really shouldn't. And the thing that's interesting is when you do studies, men are typically the ones that the switch turns off faster than the women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Because women still have that natural coquettish, you know, let's play and let's, because women can be more playful. And guys, please know, this is not a universal statement. This is just, and we know there's a lot of wonderful romantic men out there. Mm-hmm. But typically what happens in love relationships is that men are still the hunter-gatherers.
That's
it's like, okay,
true.
Won you, got you by the hair, drug you into my castle, boom, you know, and now I get to, that's like a little tick mark off of my to-do list.
Right.
I have you. And one of the things about keeping passion alive is keeping the mystery a bit. I don't believe in games, and I'm absolutely, I just jump up and down with my clients when I see any kind of gamey mentality.
Right, yes.
But you do want to keep mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether
mm-hmm.
you're married 5 minutes or 50 years, mm-hmm. there still should be some things that surprise your partner.
Well, and that's
you know,
so
delight them.
That is so true, and I love that you're touching on that, because one of the things that I very much do in designing a master suite and a master bathroom is, at all possible, make it so that there is a separate dressing and grooming section for men and women. Quite frankly, I don't want my sweetheart to see me with my rollers in my hair. It's not my best look. Now, after I take them out, you know, that's another story. But I think just the real physical setup of our space and our environment can make such a big difference on that, the whole sensory look, because men are very visual.
Yes.
And what I want him to have when he thinks about me is, I want him to have a vision of me coming through a door looking gorgeous, not me standing there in my rollers in my bathrobe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And who controls that? I do.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, ladies and gentlemen, throw out those ratty old bathrobes. They are not serving you well.
Paula, I just did.
Good girl. Good girl. Yeah,
I didn't even cut it up and use it for rags.
Thank you. Thank you. Really, make an investment in yourself. And and it's something that people who know me and have read our book know I'm so firm on, so strong on, is the belief that the things that we use daily should be exquisite.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whether it is the coffee cup, the toothbrush, the pen. I love to write. I love words. And I am just crazy about wonderful pens. And they don't have to be the expensive pens. My favorite all-time pen is one that I got in Paris at the student store for, you know, what was then 7 francs. So it was a dollar. I love that pen. And it gives me pleasure. It takes me back to that memory, that time of being in Paris. Really treat yourself. If you look at the things that you use daily, and I'd like all our listeners to do this, and pick 3 things that maybe you haven't replaced for a while. It might be a hairbrush. It might be anything. And go out and replace those 3 things, and then call us and let us know how you feel.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think what we do, and that brings up a fabulous, you know, point, is that we take for granted that which is around us. So we put on our best. We we design our homes. We dress up when we're flirting, when we're courting, when we're dating. The minute,
right.
again, it's one, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's
right.
Joe. That's him over on the couch. And for all of my single clients out there that would give their right ear to have someone, you know, in their life, they say the people that have the relationships, it's like they don't appreciate them. I hear so many of my single girlfriends say, oh, my God, I would treat him like a king. And I said, yes, you would. Until you got married, and then you said, okay, now I've got him, now
right.
Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, shows like this, books like the ones you've written, books like the one I've written, is to let people know you do not take these things for granted. It is a gift beyond anything you can imagine having someone to share your life with.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think about it every morning, and I'm very, very blessed that I've been with the love of my life for 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I really focus
on. He's darling, by the way.
He is pretty darling.
And I said, if he could just find one for me,
yeah,
just
clone
him.
That's right. We'll find one. We'll clone him.
Yes.
If I could just make copies of him and sell him off, you know,
right.
I could retire. But one of the things, Tana, that you're saying is so true, is I am so aware that he has a choice to wake up anywhere in the world he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And he chooses to wake up in my bed.
Yes.
And I choose to wake up in his.
Mm-hmm.
And what a gift that is.
Yes.
And how much that smooths some of the rough days and the rough, maybe little trivial upsets, you know, that all relationships have, to say, we have choices here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, people that say, you know, we stay together because of the children, well, that's not a good reason in my worldview, but then that's just me.
I'd like to just take a moment to remind our listeners that you're listening to Passion by Design on AM 1240 KNRY. We are here every Tuesday at 4:05, and we want you to enter the world of Passion by Design and talk about love and romance and things that are important to you and give you a little moment of respite in your life. And
Every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we want.
Right.
And our call-in number, if anyone would like to call in and ask us questions, make comments, share some experiences or stories, our call-in number is area code 831-373-1234.
Tana, I have your information from your website here, and I was interested in your checklist.
And
I thought that was a good evaluation. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely. And also, if it's all right, I'd like to say something about gratitude, because, Paula, you triggered something, too.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that my husband and I do every night before we go to sleep is we have to say at least three things that we're grateful for that happened during the day. And that's part of what I teach is ongoing love and appreciation. That's what keeps love and passion going. And, you know, when I've had my own show or I've done my seminars or lectures, I always ask, what do you think the number one thing in keeping passion alive is? And it's not sex, it's not a good dinner, it's appreciation.
Wow. Oh.
Because when you appreciate, and Paula, you know, you so beautifully said that, you know, I am also married to the love of my life, and on the 30th of this month is our 14th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
And thank you. And when we do our minimum of three, I mean, we can go on and do a litany of wonderful things that happen. And, of course, there's some days life happens and we can barely come up with three.
But breathing.
Exactly. My pencil didn't break.
That's
thank you,
right.
God. You know? And what happens is we always start out with, I'm grateful for you.
Oh.
I'm grateful that you know, and it isn't staged. It's not something that we have to do. It's not anything like that. But we do that, and we always come back to, we're grateful that, like you were saying, we all have choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing that we do is every time on a movie or if we are in person at a wedding or a recommitment ceremony, we recommit to one another.
Oh, that's lovely.
And it's just, it's like, why did you fall in love in the first place? And that's something else that I do, you know? And my checklist, you know, that's...
I thought it was a great meter.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. You know, there's something that I call the conscious relationship questions.
Mm-hmm.
And about every 6 months, maybe a year, when you're in a committed relationship, and even as you're developing into one, it's an okay thing to do. Mm-hmm. You ask just four simple questions. Are you getting what you want? Are you getting what you need? Are you happy with what's happening here? And what would you like to see changed?
Ooh, powerful.
Those four questions can save marriages. It can unite people. But the problem is people are afraid to ask them because they're afraid of the answer.
True.
Because if you say, are you happy with what we have here? And he happens to say, well, yeah, not really. Or she happens to say, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And then, oh my God, now what do we do? Mm-hmm. So people avoid it. Mm-hmm. But just little tiny things become the little pebbles in your shoe that mm-hmm. they're a little annoyance, and then they get worse, and then it rubs a blister, and then you say, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But if you take care of those small things,
absolutely.
Through love and appreciation, by asking, are you happy? What would you like to see changed? And in some cases, it's just so simple. It's, you know what, hon? I hate that you're always late.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's...
Yeah. Gee, I didn't know that made a difference
exactly.
to you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we always think it's the huge gremlins going to come out of the basement and just kill us.
Right.
But
it's
it isn't.
It's the little things.
Absolutely.
Well, and if
yeah.
you do it frequently, then the little
they
things
stay
don't
little.
Build up.
Exactly.
And they do
yeah.
stay little.
Exactly.
So I think that's a wonderful tool.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's a huge tool, and yeah. It reminds me of some friends of ours, and she would leave Kleenexes around.
Mm,
drove
mm-hmm.
him crazy. She had no clue until he told her.
Right.
And, you know, those things that we think, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, resentment, you talk about something that'll hurt your feelings in the end. It'll finish you off.
Mm-hmm.
So avoiding those resentments building up, I think, is such a powerful tool. And you know, there are tools out there, whether it's in Passion by Design, talking about how we control our space and our words,
right.
To, you know, professional psychotherapists, to, you know, intuitives like you. There are answers.
Yes.
And we need to have the courage to ask the questions.
Exactly. And, you know, ladies, that's one of the reasons when Robert and I wrote our book.
Mm-hmm.
And our book is called Isle of Fantasies, Secrets for Creating the Love of Your Life.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
And what I did is, you know, on a drive from here back home at the time, we were not living in Monterey at the time, the whole concept for the book came through. So I basically channeled the whole concept. And each chapter addresses a different thing. We have communication, sexuality, preferences, forgiveness, past relationship issues. I mean, so each chapter covers something specific. And one of the things that most people don't ever ask is, what do I really want? In relationship, you've got to know what mm-hmm. you want. If you want a new car,
mm-hmm.
you say,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm going to sort of check out the different models. I want these features. This is, you know. But when relationships come along, people say, I just want somebody to love. And I said, mm-hmm. no, you don't.
No. Yeah.
You know, Jeffrey Dahmer was a somebody. I mean,
ooh.
We've got axe murderers out there that
yeah.
are just somebodies. You want your soulmate.
Right.
Yes.
You know? And
yes.
It's Tony Robbins who talks about the state.
Oh, yes.
And what you want is not the person, but how that relationship makes you feel.
Truly.
And that person also wants that. It's
oh,
the
yes.
state of how you feel.
Oh, yeah. And Tony's work is great. I mean, I worked with him when he first started. And
wow. I didn't know that.
And my husband actually worked with Leslie Cameron Bandler, who was the one who actually developed NLP.
Oh.
And Robert
Tell our audience what NLP is.
That's oh, my goodness. Tool. I use NLP every single day.
Powerful.
It's neuro-linguistic programming. And basically what the two men who developed it, John and Richard, John Richard Bandler. What they wanted to do is they wanted to see what language, the effect on the physiology of someone. So if I looked at you and say, you are the most wonderful person I've ever met, what happens in the body? You have a response. And then they took it further. Mm-hmm. And then you can say pretty much anything you want to say to anybody. It just happens to be how your physiology is, because what you say is only 7% of communication.
Isn't
the other 93%
amazing?
Is how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And a really cute little fast example is, I didn't steal the money. I didn't steal the money. I didn't steal the money. And that's three separate definitions.
Ways. Yes.
You know, it's like when I say I didn't do it, that implies that you did it.
Right.
I didn't steal the money, meaning, well, maybe I borrowed it. Maybe it just happened to fall in my purse.
Oh.
Or I didn't steal the money. That inflection means, well, I stole something else, not the
oh,
money, but something else.
Interesting.
And what happens in relationships is we use our own patterns of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say to you, you know, Sandy, okay, that's a great dress. Yeah, okay, I like the black, but yeah. And so I gave you a compliment, but then something in your gut's going, well, what's wrong with my dress?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And or I can say, you know, you are the weirdest person I've ever met.
And see, what I'm doing is I'm shaking my head negatively.
No. So you're going, wait a minute, she's shaking her head no, but I'm hearing something. And we do that all the time in relationships, and it's called crazy making in relationships.
Oh, how true.
You have spent 4 hours in the bathroom getting ready. You're going to go on a beautiful date. You have your best dress. Your hair is all done. Your makeup is perfect. And you walk out, and your husband looks at you and goes, yeah, okay. Let's go.
Yeah.
And you're going, now, wait a minute. Because what happened is instead of saying something nice, now in his mind, he's going, oh, she looks hot tonight. But if he doesn't communicate that,
right,
then you're hurt. You go through the whole evening thinking, I'm going to get back at you later.
Yeah. And he's wondering, what did I do? I told her she looked
exactly.
nice.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. That
or there's also the backhanded compliment like, oh, I like that so much better than the thing you wore the other night.
Truly.
And then you
truly.
Think, oh, I looked terrible the other night, the whole night, and he never told me.
Oh, honey, exactly. And that's the crazy making in communication.
It
and
is.
That is devastating in relationships.
Well, we're going to take a short break on that note and come back, and we're going to talk some more about words. We have a chapter in the book called A Word About Words. We'll be right back.
I'm Don.
And I'm Eileen.
We've owned and operated Transparent Glass Coatings for 35 years. We have educated our clients about the negative effects of ultraviolet light on everything inside their homes and offices.
That's right, Don. Even when it's cold and cloudy, ultraviolet and infrared light still are damaging to interior furnishings and valuables.
Eileen and I have worked hard to create a long-standing and trusted family-owned company. And now our two sons are taking us to the next level as leaders in the green and sustainable energy movement. We utilize the most advanced technology, like Huper Optic ceramic window film, to update existing windows and turn them into energy-efficient super windows. We provide energy savings reports and rebates for commercial buildings, and our products qualify for federal tax credits when used in your home.
Remember that going green usually means saving the green in your wallet. You can reach us in Monterey at 373-3334 or in Santa Cruz at 476-9627.
Welcome back to Passion by Design. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah, and we're here with Tana Marie.
Hello.
Discussing communication.
Oh, yes.
And we're talking about words, and Sandy and I put a chapter in the book that we actually call A Word About Words. And just what you're saying is so true. The simple adjustments in the way you phrase something can change a negative into a positive. And one thing that I feel so fortunate to have learned many years ago is a trick which we'll share with you, our listening audience, and that is to change the word but to and. So if you think about this example, and I think this was the one that I was first exposed to this concept on, and it was, say you're dating a man for 3 months, for example, 6 months, whatever. And you're kind of getting to the point you want to have the conversation. Is this going anywhere? You know, we women, we want to know, is this going to go somewhere? Because we have a biological time clock and it's ticking and we're investing in this relationship with this man. And so we kind of bring up the subject, you know, where is this relationship going, you know, in your mind to the man? And if he goes, well, you know, I love you, but I don't want to get married right now. What does she hear?
Absolutely.
But I don't want to get married. And what he meant to say, if he had said, you know, I love you and I don't want to get married right now, the whole meaning mm-hmm. changes and shifts, and the hearing changes and shifts. And there's a wonderful book called He Said, She Said, mm-hmm. and it talks about, and it's really one to look into of how what we are saying is being heard. Because a man hears and interprets words differently than a woman does. And sometimes I find myself, you know, getting my back up a little bit or taking something wrong, and I go back and I look at the intention. What was his intention behind the words? And more often than not, I can recognize, you know, he didn't intend mm-hmm. to hurt my feelings. So choose to take it the way he intended to say it.
Oh, mm-hmm. absolutely. And, you know, but is such a great example, because any time you say but in any sentence, it nullifies what you said before the but.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think we've talked about that so many times.
Absolutely. It nullifies it. And, you know, one of the things that I do that I love, and, you know, we wrote extensively in our little book, Isle of Fantasies, also, was I call different dictionaries. And I have a seminar that I do. And what different dictionaries is about is that we all have different definitions of commonly used words.
Oh, give us some examples.
And what is fascinating is I had a couple that came in once, and they were literally on the verge of divorce.
Oh, boy.
And so as we were going through what the issue was, she kept saying, he is not committed to this relationship. And he is sitting there saying, I don't understand. I am completely committed to this relationship. So this went on for a little bit, and so then I brought out different dictionaries. I said, okay, guys, first of all right, Sue, what does commitment mean to you? And she went through her litany. Well, it means that you're attached at the hip 24/7. You're the first call, the last call. You spend all your time together, yada, yada, yada. She went through her definition of what committed means. Mm-hmm. I asked him, and he said, well, I'm monogamous. I will never cheat on her, but I like being out occasionally with my buddies. I'm not out trolling for women. I'm not doing anything. And what really started the whole issue was that he wanted to go away on his yearly, week-long getaway with the guys, his college buddies. She flipped out. And they had just gotten married, and so this was like the first time that it ever really came up. And so she said, we're not committed. And so when I sat down and said, okay, here's the deal. What we have to do is we have to come up with a definition of what committed means that you can both be comfortable with. Now, you don't have to be attached at the hip 24/7 to know that you're committed to a relationship. And that's what he kept saying. I love you. I'm completely committed. And in his mind, he was. Another thing that's fascinating is when you think of, because we all think that when I say to you, yes, I'm committed to this, in your vernacular, you go, okay, cool. This ticks off all of these particular criterion in that. Mm-hmm, and yes. I'm thinking it ticks off all of my criterion. Yeah. But then when we come together, yours could be completely different than mine.
And most likely they are.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Especially Paula. Male, female.
Right. Absolutely. And it's fascinating because even within women, you know, girlfriends, female friends, it's your background, it's your education, it's where you came from. That's where the definitions come from. And then, yes, you cross the sexual border and you have the male versus the female, if you will. And so what happens is when you come to agreement on what commonly held words mean, all of a sudden, whether it's your boss, your dad, your mom, your girlfriend down the street, it doesn't matter. It really is a universal healing, because when you understand that, and you know, when I do seminars on this, I'll ask words like trust. What does trust mean? Commitment, trust, love. What does love mean?
Oh, I bet you get some amazingly varied answers.
You could have 100 people in the room and get 100 answers.
That is really true.
I mean, it's really remarkable.
That is an exercise that I think every couple should do before they get married.
Absolutely. And and that's why, you know, when I perform weddings, because I'm also an ordained minister, which is a lot of fun.
I bet.
I always get teased about being a one-stop shop for love and romance, because I have single women or single people coming to me. I tell them who's coming in. I help them get there. Then when they find the love of their life, I get to marry them. And then, of course, do the counseling afterwards.
Well, and then you call us and we get to come in and do their bedroom.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
We're offering a service which we're really excited about now. And it's just, I think, very revolutionary. And we call it Beautiful Bedrooms for Brides.
Oh, wonderful.
And the thinking is this. It's when you start planning for that 24 hours of your wedding day, the year out, the 6 months out, whatever it is, that's the time to start thinking about creating the environment for your love to flourish and grow for the rest of your lives. So this is a new concept that we're doing and just tremendously excited about for families and friends of brides. What an amazing gift. You know, they probably don't need another toaster.
Nope.
And what a phenomenal gift to support that relationship. And so we're quite excited about Beautiful Bedrooms for Brides.
Right, because we talk so often in the book about how when you get married, and usually it's the joining of two sets of furniture.
And usually doesn't work all that well, I've noticed.
And different tastes. And they both come into the same house, and you may have grandma's dresser from, you know, another century.
Have
his black, sleek chest that's from his bachelor days.
And my personal favorite is the ancestor portraits over the bed.
Oh, yeah, not good.
Highly recommend those be removed from the bedroom. They're great for the hall, but not the bedroom.
Do you remember when we did that television show? They created a TV show for our concept, and it was a pilot, actually. It didn't get picked up, unfortunately, but at least it was made. And they did a bedroom. They had us go into a couple's lives, and we analyzed their bedroom, and right over the bed was a picture that the niece had drawn of the family.
Yes, and over the bed.
Oh. So every night before they went to bed, that was the last thing that they saw. And
you can guess the first thing I got rid of.
Yes, yeah. We got rid of it. Put some water features in the room that had a nice sensual sound, and then it was a beautiful bedroom. Soft colors.
And just all the senses. And that's one thing that we really focus on in Passion by Design, is really reconnecting with our senses.
Yes.
And that whole beautiful lifestyle of, you know, again, that we talked about earlier about, you know, the European lifestyle, if you will, where you savor the food and the drink and the textures and the sunset setting. You know, we want this hour of Passion by Design to be a reminder of that in all of our listeners' lives, because we can create that.
Yes. We can.
And it's pretty magical.
That's in our book, we use a lot of fantasy, and we have people remind themselves of what reason did they fall in love with that person in the first place, and where, so that they start having these sensory remembrances of maybe a scent, a smell. You know, maybe he was wearing a certain cologne, or she was wearing a certain perfume. Maybe it was the backdrop of a sunset somewhere. And we talk about bringing those sensory delights back into the bedroom as a reminder, because they do absolutely trigger memories. Anybody that's ever walked into a room and had a wonderful smell that took them back, you know, 20 years, we all know that about those things, and that's what we try to incorporate.
Oh, and that's so priceless, because actually the olfactory senses will trigger a deeper memory than any of the other senses.
Oh, that's right. That's interesting.
And that's why, you know, you can be walking down this, because it is. It's the primal brain. And what's exciting, and people, again, overlook that. They have their smelly laundry in one corner, and they have dirty socks in there, and they're wondering, why is there no passion here? But you can be walking down the street, and let's say a man passes you, and he's wearing the same cologne as your high school sweetheart.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And you're instantly back to 16 and you know, back
those
at the prom.
Fluttery feelings and the excitement of the
feelings. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why not only the beauty of a room, the visual memory lasts, of course, but the olfactory is the deepest, and
it
lasts the longest.
And more and more, and Sandy, you and I have just been so enjoying the studying of the neuroscience of the brain and brain chemistry, and it's just fascinating, and we're going to be doing several more shows where we really delve deeply into this, because what we're talking about is based indeed in scientific fact.
Mm-hmm.
And the more science goes forward, the more this becomes really true. One of the shows that we're going to do in the future is talking about fragrance and how powerful fragrance is, just what we're talking about here. And we'll go into some depth about why that is and what you can do to control it.
Wonderful.
Which
That's
is
so
really,
great.
Really, really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Really fun. And we're just coming to the end. We've got another couple minutes. So tell us, what would you like our listeners to know about what your work is, what you're doing, what you're contributing to this planet in your beautiful way?
Well, thank you, my dear. This is my 32nd year doing my intuitive counseling.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
That's phenomenal.
Yes.
She started when she was two.
Oh, yes, I did. You know, a little prodigy. And this year is my 25th anniversary of being ordained. So I'm just very proud. Thank you of doing that. So, you know, like most women today, very powerful women, I do about 18 things all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily,
is that all?
Yeah, exactly. Primarily, I do my intuitive counseling. I do that both in person as well as over the phone. And I literally have clients all over the world.
So we can link your website to ours. And if people hear the show, we can get them to you through passionbydesign.com if they don't remember yours, and vice versa.
Yeah, and we'd also like to remind our listeners that if they go onto our website and fill out our contact form and put in there that they heard us on KNRY, we'll enter them in a drawing for an autographed copy of our book. So we look forward to hearing from everyone.
Absolutely.
Oh, and it's a fabulous book. Everybody needs to be getting one, even if they don't win one.
So. Well, this is true. Amazon.com.
Amazon is wonderful.
Amazon.com. You know, you've just touched on so many important points today that bring value, and your experience is what I find so lovely, because you're not just talking about this in theory. You're talking about this from the heart, connected experience. And on so many levels, I know that you've made a difference in the world.
And thank you've been you, living dear. It for a long, long time. What's the best advice you can give us in 30 seconds for couples?
Know what brought you together in the first place.
Oh, I love that.
Revisit that at regular intervals.
Right.
If something comes up, talk about it. Talk about it when you're happy, not when you're in the middle of an argument.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also set up some ground rules for when something does happen that irritates you. For instance, very quickly, a client of mine was always feeling like she was walking on eggs around her husband. So I said, what you do is do a little dance, like you're tiptoeing around, holding your fingers up, and what happens is looking like you're tiptoeing on eggs. And what that will do is break the energy rather than getting mad.
Oh, excellent.
She dances around the kitchen. And,
so he gets the signal.
And he starts laughing. Oh. She starts laughing. And it disarms the problem.
That's a wonderful tool. So it really lightens the moment.
It does.
Well,
it does.
And it shifts the state.
Yes. Love is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to hurt. And it's not supposed to be so serious.
Right.
That is absolutely true. Well, again, we just thank you so much, Tana Marie.
Tana Marie, give us your website again so that people can visit it.
www.passionisland.us.
And then just briefly mention a couple of your services that they can go for.
I do personal and intuitive counseling. I'm an ordained minister. I have a book that is wonderful that will help you. And I'm also doing seminars and workshops. So they'll find all that out on my website, passionisland.us.
Excellent.
Paula, this has been so much fun.
Oh, it's terrific. It's so much fun.
Well, we've got just another minute that I want to leave you with a thought that, you know, try changing the words just simply from I love you to I'm so in love with you. And that can sometimes make all the difference. And remove that word but from a sentence.
Yeah.
How about that?
Very powerful. We'll leave them with that thought.
Yeah.
And our hour is coming to a close. And we do invite you to visit our website, passionbydesign.com. And you'll find more information on living a life of passion. And we really want to hear from you, your thoughts, your experiences, your stories. So either call us or email us and continue to live that life of passion. We'll see you next week, Tuesday afternoon on AM 1240. KNRY. Watching every motion in my foolish love's game.
Community Radio for the Central Coast, AM 1240, KNRY, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.